Whoever thinks evil of his enemies does not have love for God and does not know God. Because our God is the God of forgiveness, the God of love. Our God is a God who was crucified in the midst of his suffering, looked down at those crucifying him, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And earlier he says that love has no greater witness than a man lay down his life for another. And in the midst of doing exactly that, in the midst of his crucifixion, in the midst of laying down his life for those ungrateful, for those who looked upon him, for those who pierced his side, for those who beat him earlier in the day, at that exact moment when he was showing true love, he prayed for his enemies. He prayed for them and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This prayer for our enemies is the truest expression of love for our enemies. And I know many of you are thinking, we're here in Glenview, and I don't have enemies. There is no one plotting against my life. There is no one sitting in their basement with a scrapbook of my life plotting my downfall. There is no one there who is actively trying to tear me down. I don't have any enemies. I'm sure you do. I'm sure we all do. If we think of enemies as anyone who holds hostility towards us. There's a story that I'm quite fond of. These two young girls, and they were both very talented musicians. One, the older, picked up the trombone, interestingly enough, because she was the tallest girl in her class and she was the only one who could reach to the end of the slide, and they needed a trombonist. So she picked up the trombone, she worked very, very hard. And her younger sister, who looked up to her, decided to pick up the trombone. And she did not work hard at all, and she quickly outshined her older sister. And she put forth very little effort and made state band before her sister did when they were in school together. And eventually, this pattern of trying very hard on the part of the older sister and not trying very hard but being more successful on the part of the younger sister continued for the rest of their lives. Until eventually it reached a boiling point. And the older sister said to her mother, "I can't take it anymore. She doesn't try. She makes a mockery of everything I do. I try so hard and yet I'm always unsuccessful compared to her, and she doesn't appreciate the gifts that she's been given." And instead of saying, "You're right, your sister's lazy," or instead of saying, "Well, that should be more motivation for you," her mother looked at her and said, "Have you prayed for her today?" Her daughter said, "No." And she said, "All this animosity that you have in your heart towards your sister, you are not joyful of the gift that she has been given. You do not recognize that God has blessed her, and he's also blessed you with a work ethic that she did not receive. Have you prayed for her today?" "No." So these might be the types of enemies we have in our lives. The enemies that arise out of jealousy. And interestingly enough, although he holds no real weight theologically, but is a wonderful storyteller, Dante, when he writes about those who suffer from the sin of envy, he says, "Envy is more than just wanting what someone else has. The truest and worst form of envy is wanting to see someone else fail." How many times in our lives have we watched someone excel beyond us and hoped for a hiccup, hoped for them to fail so that we could go beyond them? be it people in our workplace, be it sports teams. Again and again and again, especially this season, you hear the people on the radio talking about the Bears and their upcoming games, and the only way they have, the only chance they have to win is some injury to Rodgers or something like that. And it's always immediately followed with, of course, you never want someone to be injured. You never ask for that. You never hope for that. But that's the only way that they would win. That's that type of envy that Dante talks about. Wishing that someone else would lose what they have so that you might surpass them. And when that flares up within our hearts, that envy, our first reaction, the only reaction we can have that will bring God's grace upon us, is to pray for those whom we envy. We cannot stay envious or angry at someone as we pray for them. The grace of our Lord shines upon us, and any hatred we have in our heart dissipates. And St. Silouan the Athenite says, I beg you, try. He says, if you don't believe it, I beg you, try. Force yourself. Force yourself to pray for those whom you might deem as your enemies, those who you might be jealous of, those who surpass you in business and in life, those who have wronged you. St. Silouan says, I beg you, pray for them. And in praying for them, we imitate Christ, who on the cross prayed for those who crucified him. Love has no greater witness than to lay down your life for others. And in that moment of self-sacrifice, to pray for those driving in the nails. I would like to leave us today with a common prayer the church has composed for our enemies. Lord Jesus Christ, who did command us to love our enemies and those who defame and injure us, and to pray for them and forgive them, who thyself did pray for thine enemies who crucified thee, grant us, we pray, the spirit of Christian reconciliation and meekness, that we may heartily forgive every injury and be reconciled with our enemies. Grant us to overcome the malevolence and offenses of people with our Christian meekness and true love of our neighbor. We further beseech thee, O Lord, to grant to our enemies true peace and forgiveness of sins, and do not allow them to leave this life without true faith and sincere conversion. And help us repay evil with goodness, and to remain safe from the temptations of the devil and from all the perils which threaten us in the form of visible and invisible enemies. For you are holy always, now, and forever, into the ages of ages. Amen.